I think we've all kind of experienced like reading a scripture that you've read like hundreds of times and it just kind of hits you differently, like one particular time that you read it. I was reading Psalm 23 and I just kind of got stuck on like verse 2 that talks about like
name all over the place that we are. So thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for all the things that you are doing in our life and in this church. Thank you, Father God, for this time and opportunity that you are allowing us to talk about the scripture, talk about you, and build, transform according to your will. Father God, be you speaking to the church, be you talking to the church, not me. So please remove my heart, my desires, my knowledge or mentality, and be you speaking to the church. We're going to just share your scripture, which is your word, not mine. So please, Father God, continue transforming our hearts and mind according to your will. Be you speaking to the church. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So today we are being talking about the same topic that we have been talking like in 5 weeks ago. And that's something that God is putting in my heart to continue getting more knowledge and managing all the things that we're managing in our daily life. And I hope, again, it's going to be a continued blessing also for you guys. And we're just going to share the scripture and let the Holy Spirit transform us and also build us according to his will. And going through some experiences and learning from other preachers, pastors also, that they have some experiences and testimonies that they had. And one that I heard this week, it was about a pastor that he opened his heart and started talking about his experience with his dad. When he was 5 years old, he had an experience with his dad about rejection, about shame, and about a harsh experience that he had because his dad, during his moment of drunkenness, he started talking to his son of 5 years old and saying, "It's your fault that your mom is sick and your mom is going to die." So this pastor, he starts sharing this testimony and say, like, I took that seriously. And he heard me. But at the moment, the way that I manage that, says the pastor, it is that I just put a covering, a protection, a shield. And this is kind of the same topics that we have been going through all these weekends. Talking about fear, talking about rejection, talking about how we can overcome the fear, how we can trust the Lord over fear, and how to compare also fear of God and fear of the world and other things that we are facing. And this pastor, when he continued sharing the story, he said that he put that shield, that cover, about like putting success in his life, putting things like work, money in his life, like a priority. And this is when he was a little kid. This is before he was a pastor. And that's the way that he grew up. The way that he grew up, he said, "I'm not going to put my family in any shame. I'm not going to put the reputation of my family in any shame." And that's the protection that he put over him. And God is not in the picture. He's just trying to protect himself, his heart, his mind, his life of shame when his dad just like talked to him and say those words to him. And he just like, okay, I'm just going to put a success as my target. And you can say like, well, success is nothing bad and wrong. Well, depending on the motivation. Because maybe the motivation that you have is not the motivation from God in your heart and in your life. Now, the motivation that is moving you is different. So with what motivation is the one that we need to look at and see what I'm doing is motivated by God or is motivated by another thing, which is protecting that shame that I'm feeling because my dad talked to me that way. And you know, we can say a lot of things in our life. Like in the past, I don't know if you heard this before, feeling shame about saying no without feeling guilty. Some people, they don't like to say no. Some people like to say yes, 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 yes to everything, but sometimes we have to say no. And one of the things that he was also mentioning, it was that one of his birthday, he said, "I'm going to give to me the blessing and respect to say no to the people. Because sometimes I cannot handle things. I cannot do everything in my life. So I will take the no and say no to the people sometimes when I cannot handle everything. I cannot say yes to everything. And another thing, remember when people say also they're going through therapy because I have something, some issues in my head, or I have some emotional issue, and people feel shame about it. I don't know in the past, but at least I have that experience that people have shame of saying, I'm going to therapy because I have problems. And also, for example, living alone, maybe choosing not to have children, maybe opening or openly talking about feelings. And people feel shame about doing those things because that shame is being growing and growing in our hearts and life based on things that we experienced in the past with different kind of situations or people that we face in the past or in our life. Do you remember, for example, also going back to school anyway we are older or seniors? I don't know, I feel shame, I don't have the energy, or I don't know how the people's going to start looking at me. And those things start going through our heads, and then that shame start building that fear. And that fear will not let you move to anywhere. And that fear will be controlling. Do you guys remember, or maybe you can tell about yourself, at least for myself, I believe that shame can control your life. Shame can control your life and not allowing you to really do the will of God in your life. So today I believe that I just want to come over here in representation of God, on behalf of God, and tell you, you are not guilty. Don't feel shame. Whatever happened, you're not guilty. You're not alone. You have a church and you have a Father God that is with you. You have His Son, Jesus Christ, that is with you. You're not alone. Don't feel like that. For example, when we also think about different behaviors, different things that in the school, and sometimes we put this in our children. I have two kids. And sometimes we pressure them and put the shame over there in the conversation. If you don't pass the class, it's going to be looking bad on you. You will be the worst guy in the room. We put that shame, right? We are guilty of that sometimes. And we put that shame in our kids. So we have to be careful how we manage those wordings and those things and those comments and statements that we do to our family. Because sometimes you can put that shame on them. And now the shame, it will control the whole perspective of their life. Everything that they're doing, the point of view that they're seeing everything, is going to be under the control of the shame. And do you remember this one? You're taking a picture, you're in a coffee shop with maybe your friend, your best friend, your husband, or maybe your daughter, your son, I don't know, name it. And you're taking the picture, you're smiling over there, boop, beautiful picture, nice and amazing, but when you're looking, you say, oh. I don't know, I have like a wrinkle over here, my face. Oh my goodness, I look so old. Delete that photo. Now the moment that you have that picture that you have fun, you enjoy it, you have a smile over there, now it becomes like a harsh moment, a shame. And what we're doing and transmitting to our other person is maybe that shame that we don't want to transmit to that person, that we need to be careful. Because, again, that will be controlling our life. I'm going to leave you with these statements that we maybe are facing in our life. And what do you think about this? When we pretend we don't see someone. That person is over there. Oh, let me look to this route. I didn't notice that person is over there. Let me ignore it because I don't want to talk with that person. I don't know. What about make up excuses to get off the phone? What about wearing socks with holes in them and nobody knows, but you know? Shame. Leave the last drop of milk in the carton. Come on, you know, we all went through that. tell little lies to avoid a conversation. Pretend to like what others like. We are just facing ourselves right now. We're just looking in the mirror. Come on, let's be honest. And that's because we feel shame. Because we don't want to face that person. We don't want to face that other thing. Because shame is controlling our life. And shame is the one determining what you're going to do and how you're going to handle that conversation and that other person and that specific situation. And today I believe that God wants just us to know you don't have the reason to do that. Because God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit in our heart, in our life, He's the priority in us, not the shame. In going through the scripture based on what just I say, like an introduction, 1 Corinthians 8:9 says, be careful. However, that the exercise of your rights does not become a stumbling block to the weak. Huh. For if someone with a weak conscience sees you, with all your knowledge, eating in sacrifice to idols, so this weak brother or sister for whom Christ died is destroyed by your knowledge. When you sin against them in this way and wound their weak conscience, you sin against Christ. That's tough. Therefore, if what I eat causes my brother or sister to fall into sin, I will never eat meat again, so that I will not cause them to fall. And now you're going to say, do I have to be a hypocrite? And that's the challenge that we face. Because sometimes we pretend, we do those other things that we just talk about, but really is what you are putting in the first place in your heart and in your mind. Because whatever I'm doing, if he's going to make my brother and sister to sin, that's supposed to be my priority. So I have to step back up. It's not that I've been a hypocrite. It's just that I'm putting that as a priority. I'm loving my brother. I'm loving my sister. Love each other. And now because I'm putting that as a priority, whatever the other stuff, the pretensions and all those lies and all these things that we're trying to avoid because shame, no, shame is not in my life. It's the love of God to others. And that's leading everything. That's controlling everything in our hearts and life. And that's what I believe God wants us to understand and to learn and do and apply it in our daily life. Because it's really important that we are not letting the shame control in us and then we are making our brothers and sisters to fall. Genesis 2:25, we know this. This is how we start the whole thing 5 weeks ago. Genesis 2:25. What it says? Adam and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Now, when we go to chapter 3:7, again, I'm just repeating the whole kind of purpose of the whole these 5 weeks. 3:7 says, then the eyes of both of them were open, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. So now the eyes of them are open, but they were already naked. Which it means in the original disgrace. It means shame. It was over there all the time. It's just that the eyes of them were open when they decide to break or disobey God. And now when that happened, the eyes were open because the issue is the eyes. That's the situation here. There's a contrast between eyes and ear that I want to share with you guys today here. Genesis 3:7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. It is pressing a lot of blessings over there. And the shame now is showing because our eyes are open. And now that the shame is showing up, now I'm going to cover. How I'm going to cover the shame? Like I shared with the introduction, We hide those shame with money, with earthly success, with maybe other things like maybe drugs, maybe another reputation that is not based on God. We are hiding or hiding those shame that we have with, or covering them with all those things. And I'm not saying those things maybe because we grew up with them saying, oh, this is good. We need to have success in our life. But what is real success? Because in our mentality, success it is having a great house, the biggest house, the best car, the newest car, the best great family, the kids, no sickness, nothing at all. Oh, success. But what's really success? Because that's maybe earthly success. But for God, success is to do His will, to accomplish His purpose in your life. You might be doing all those things. I might be doing all those things. And maybe we are blessed by God in all those things over here on the earth. Praise God to that. All the glory to Him. He's the one providing, not anyone else. But am I going through the route that God is giving me, that I'm really doing the purpose of God in my life? Because that's success. If I'm doing that, I'm successful. But if not doing the purpose of God, I don't know if I'm really successful. Anyway, on the earth, it shows that I'm successful. How many people, they are successful on the earth, but they're missing the greatest thing in this life, which is the love of God and the Holy Spirit touching and transforming us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now, in continuation in Genesis 3, what it says in chapter 3, verse 8, then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as He was walking in the garden. They didn't see the God walking. They heard. But they saw the shame. In the cool of the day. And they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to them, man, where are you? That's the first question that I want to ask you today. Where are you? Where are you? Do you think God doesn't know where you're at right now? Do you think He was asking that question really, like physically or literally? Do you really believe that you and I, we could really hide from God? According to Scripture, 1 John 3:19, this is how we know that we belong to the truth and how we set our hearts at rest in His presence. If our hearts condemn us, we know that God is greater than our hearts and He knows everything. Everything. Psalm 139:1, you have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know where when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. Come on. Do you think we can hide from God? Hebrews 4:13, nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Nothing. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. Where are you? Because He knows. But do you know where you are? And I think that's the question that He was asking Adam. Not from his point of view of God. Like, I don't know where you at. Where you at, Adam? I don't think He was asking that question. He was asking Adam, where are you? Where is the person that he was walking with me with his eyes covered, which he cannot see the shame? Where are you? That's the question. Where is the person that he was with me, walking with me? And I think that's the question that he's asking us today. Where are you? Are you really walking with him? He asked that question, and the answer from Adam was this. I heard you in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked. So I hid. Now that my eyes are open, now I can see shame. So let me hide in the presence of my Lord, my Father God. And that's the question that he was asking. He said, but then who tell you that? I'm not looking to blame you or condemn you, Adam. Who revealed to you that you are naked? And you can see the love of the Father God over there, that he's not condemning him. He's just going and say, who tell you about your shame? When you were with your eyes closed and you will not see your shame and you were walking with me, who tell you that now you have shame in your heart, in your life, and now you are hiding from me? Let's talk to our hearts right now and say, shame, you're not controlling me anymore. The eyes are the one that is allowing us to bring the shame to our life. But the ear is the one that is continually listening to the voice of God and telling you that God is here and loving you. That's why the faith comes from the ear. And the ear of the Word of God. When you're listening to the Word of God, that's how faith is coming to your heart. Because you're listening to Him. Your eyes is facing everything that is facing in our daily life. A lot of things that is trying to bring shame in your heart. And you might have shame right now. And maybe shame is controlling you right now. But God wants you to remove the shame today. And he say, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from? Now that happened in that moment. And then thousands of years later, we have a person that arrived here on the earth in representation of God named Jesus Christ and show grace to remove the shame. And we can see in the scriptures so many things from Jesus Christ that he faced that I want to share with you guys. For example, when we go to Matthew, and I'm not going through all the Matthews, but, you know, all the scripture in the gospel, but we can see in Matthew 26, Luke 22, and also Mark 14, the moment when Jesus Christ was in Gethsemane, and he was laying over there, he was praying to God, that was before the moment that he was betrayed, and he's going to be arrested and crucified and go through the whole process. So when he was over there, according to scripture, let's go there, 26. Matthew 26, I'm going to that one first. Matthew 26, and we're going to verse 36. Then Jesus went with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit here while I go over there and pray. He took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee along with him, and he began to be sorrowful and troubled. Then he said to them, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me. It's really interesting. Because the correlation between being afraid, remember, shame is the one that is showing to us. So the Adam, the fear that he show up in his life is because of shame, according to Scripture. Now, we have this experience with Jesus Christ. And the correlation between sorrow, pain, sadness, all that stuff is related to being fear. That I'm saying that God or Jesus Christ was fear? I cannot say that because it doesn't explicitly say that over there. But if it's a correlation between sadness and fear, yes. Because most likely when you are sad, it's not necessarily that it's just sadness because someone did something hurtful to you or someone maybe passed away. I don't know, something like that. But sadness is related to fear. Because you're feared to be overcome after that situation that is creating that sadness. So it's correlated, those things. Jesus Christ was facing that moment, and he was sorrow, according to Scripture. My soul is overwhelmed. This is words from Jesus Christ. And now in verse 39, he's saying, going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. He's facing that right now. Cup is, this is the other word that I want to share with you guys today, cup. Cup is meaning something that is coming. Something that is going to happen. And now Jesus Christ here is telling the Father, I know this is coming. I know this is going to happen. I know I make a deal with you. And I'm supposed to obey you. But now that I'm seeing everything, now that I'm feeling everything that is coming, I'm sad, I'm sorrow. I'm feeling this right now. Can you pass this cup from me? Jesus Christ is asking that question. How many of you and me, right? We ask that question sometimes. And we say, God, I don't know if I'm going to be capable to manage this situation. I don't know if I'm able to manage this cup. Can you pass it from me? But do we get to the second point? Do we tell him, but not my will, your will? Sometimes we avoid that second section. And we say, pass me the cup. I don't want to do that. It's too painful. But Jesus Christ prioritized that. He's prioritizing the love of you and me. Because according to Scripture, when we go to Hebrews, and this is Hebrews 5:7. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Submission. Thank you. Son, though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And once made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation for all who obey him. So he knows what's coming. But pay attention to that section when it says, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. In other words, he just preferred to do the will of his Father God. He preferred to do that. Anyway, he opened his heart and say, hey, God, I think this is going to be too much. But anyway, I want to do your will. He did that three times according to Scripture. Jesus Christ. Your Savior and my Savior. Three times, according to Scripture, he went and asked to our Father God the same question. Persistent, He was looking for that. He wants that. So when you read Luke, when you read Mark, there's different point of views, as you know. One of them is saying the angels came and support Jesus Christ and strengthen him so that way he can continue in doing the will of his Father God. Now, when we go and continue learning more about Hebrews 12, the scripture says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and that sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Please pay attention to this beautiful word. For the joy set before him, you are his joy. We are his joy. The joy was set before him. He was crying to the Father and saying, please pass me this cup. But because that joy, which is the salvation for you and for me, is set before him, he endured the cross. What a beautiful next section. What he says, scorning its shame. Come on, guys. Please. Please. Everything started in the garden with shame. I'm going to get emotional here. Sorry. Everything is starting in the garden with shame. Eyes are open. I'm seeing the shame. I hear the voice of my Father God. Where are you? Where are you at? The son that was walking with me. The shame it is in front of you right now controlling you. Thousands of years. And now Jesus Christ is here and say, Father God, please pass to me this cup. This shame that I'm going now is going to be too strong. Please pass to me this cup. But not my will. I want to do your will. Because if I do your will control my life, not the shame. According to this scripture, it says, scorning the shame and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So now Jesus Christ is going through this all crucifixion process to defeat the shame. The shame that you and me need to defeat. And the shame that God is telling you and me, take it out of your life. I love you. You're not guilty. Or whatever happened in your life, take it out. And the most important thing is we cannot lay on anyone to say, take it out. You and me, we are responsible of that. We need to take it out. We need to take out the shame. John 19:8. The scripture says that when Pilate heard this, he was even more afraid. The fear came to Pilate. His wife talked to him and said, hey, this guy is innocent. What are you doing? Just be careful. Matthew 27:19. When Pilate was sitting on the judge seat, his wife sent him this message. Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him. John 19 then says that Pilate was feared when he saw the people, the high priest, saying, crucify Jesus Christ. Crucify him. Give me Barabbas. Thank you. Give me him. I want to crucify that guy because he say he's the son of God. And that's not true. He's a liar. The shame was there. But Jesus Christ, he was already passing that because the cup that he already decided to take, which it was the will of God, it was going over that shame. so he knows what he's going to do. He already have that joy set before him, salvation. And then we get to the point of Matthew 27:45. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over the whole, all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli," I'm going to try, "lima sabachthani," thank you, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" I'm going to close with this. Garden. Where are you? Where are you at? Adam, he hid. Because shame. Now Jesus Christ, he exposed. With love. And now when he exposed, Father God, where are you? So now our Father God is hidden? Why are you forsaking me? So at the beginning the man hid, and now God is hidden because of you and me. Because the sin? Why now, Father God? At the beginning, where are you? And now, you are asking God, Jesus Christ, in this moment, in this case, where are you? And in that moment, when that happened, he finished everything. Because he complete everything with joy, scorning the shame, because that's the joy that it was before him. And now God exalted him and put it in the right hand. Hallelujah to that. Praise God. I want to leave you with this scripture. In 1 John 4:16, it says that, "And so we know and rely on the love God has for us." God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. There's no fear in love. But perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, shame. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. That's why the scripture is talking about in different areas in the Old Testament, like with David in 1 Samuel 17, Joshua 5:9. He's talking about different scriptures and say, for example, that in Joshua, he said, "Then the Lord said to Joshua, today I have rolled away the reproach, the shame, the fear from Israel. Who is uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" That was David saying to remove the disgrace from Israel, because we are the one responsible putting that disgrace in our hearts. That shame in our hearts. But David defiled that Philistine in that moment and said, "No, we are servers of God, a servants of God. So he's going to be with us. We can defeat this Philistine." And God today just wants to remove that out of our hearts. But he wants to make sure that you understand that he loves you, that you are not responsible of what happened to you in your life. It's not your fault. You're not guilty of that, but you are responsible to remove it because you were the one allowing that to get in your heart and in your life. Remove it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father God, thank you. We worship you. We praise you. Thank you for all the experiences. Thank you for your love. Thank you for everything that you're doing. Please, Father God, remove the shame. Remove the shame out of our hearts and mind. Anything that happened is already in the past. So we just remove the shame. Your love to control our hearts and life. We're allowing Jesus Christ, you, Holy Spirit, to take the meaning, govern our life and our hearts. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you, we love you, we worship you, and we declare in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that you are the only and true God in our life. Thank you for these blessings, and thank you for this time. And thank you for the opportunity to learn more about you and to remove any shame from us and receiving your love right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father God. We worship you and we praise you. Amen.